A Nurse's Story, My Life in A&E During the COVID Crisis by Louise Curtis with Sarah Johnson, read by Louise Curtis.
To our parents, and to those who suffer whose voices go unheard. Prologue. Shirley, April 2020. A woman in her 40s lay before me. She was struggling to breathe. She looked exhausted and her oxygen levels were dangerously low. 15 minutes ago, she had been fine. Now it was time for intensive care to get involved and for her to go on a ventilator. I knew that her chances of survival were growing less with each passing moment. I'd heard about the rapid deterioration in coronavirus patients, but this was the first time it had played out in front of me. I couldn't help feeling responsible. Had I somehow brought about this series of events? The guilt was overwhelming. Shirley had been admitted into A&E about 50 minutes before I came on shift. The doctor, who I had taken over from, had ordered some blood tests and we were waiting for a chest x-ray. She had also been tested for COVID-19, but we didn't yet know the result. When I met her, she was very worried. I wasn't. "Am I going to be okay?" she asked me. "You'll be fine, you just need a bit of oxygen," I replied. At the time, I honestly believed it. I looked at her notes. She'd had 9 days of coronavirus symptoms, but none were terribly serious. She had no prior medical history, was fit and healthy, and not part of the high-risk group, who were more susceptible to succumbing to the virus. I couldn't understand why she was so anxious. Some years back, when I was newly qualified as a nurse, there was a man in his 30s who came in with chest pain. He was normally fit and healthy and looked fine. He was due to go to a ward elsewhere in the hospital to wait for a blood test to come back. "Am I going to be okay?" he said. "Of course," I replied. "Will you tell my wife I love her and tell her to look after the baby?" I reiterated that he would be fine, but passed the message on when his wife called up to check on him. She said she'd be arriving soon. I later found out that a few hours after he had gone up to the ward, he had a cardiac arrest and died. Ever since, I've had this gut feeling, a sense of dread in the pit of my stomach when patients think they're going to die. Lots of healthcare professionals talk about it, and it's usually a warning sign. I did not get that feeling with Shirley, however, and knowing that makes it even worse. I even reassured her mother that everything looked as though it would be all right. I could tell she was also really worried on the phone. "She's not going to end up in intensive care, is she?" she asked. "We would discharge her home if only she didn't need a bit of oxygen to top her up," I said reassuringly. "She's going to be fine. I don't anticipate that she will need to go into the intensive care unit." That was the only time I spoke to her. I never got a chance to phone her mother back and speak to her myself. The ward would do it, but it should have been me to break the news. Back on the isolation unit, Shirley kept ringing her bell. I had spent a long time with her explaining everything as clearly as I could. A short while later, one of the nurses asked me to explain again because Shirley had said she didn't know what was happening. Was she just a worrier, or was she starting to become seriously unwell? I checked her over again, and she seemed fine. Her observations, oxygen saturation, heart rate, temperature, etc., didn't look bad. Then we got her chest x-ray back, and it was the worst one I had ever seen. Her entire left lung was infiltrated with COVID-19. There was very little air getting in there. One of the consultants in another area of A&E rang to check I'd seen it. "I'm looking at it now," I said. He told me to call up the respiratory ward. I did, and we agreed that Shirley would go there. There was only one crew that could transport COVID-positive patients, and so we had about a 2-hour wait before they arrived. It was often the same 2 crew members, so I assumed that the others were shielding because they had health problems and were high risk. Either that or the funding wasn't there. In the meantime, I went in regularly to check up on Shirley, who was still very worried. Her bag of fluids finished. "Do I need another one?" she asked desperately. I prescribed her a second bag. Her blood pressure was teetering on the low side. Her heart rate was up, and her sodium was a little low too. All 3 things could be helped by some fluids. When the transport arrived, a nurse went in to check on Shirley.